and Braden, a good reading of the scriptures, good prayer this morning by Al. And we're grateful for all of you who are here today. What a joy it is to be able to worship in our God. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118 and verse 24. John chapter 12 is a very interesting chapter. We've already read from the word of the Lord this morning where Jesus is talking about being lifted up. You drop down to verse 42 in this chapter. You find out that there are many that will not confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, though they believe it. And then at the end of the chapter almost, you find that John writes concerning Jesus' word. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've got a great work to do, and that is to strengthen people, to lead people, and be able to help people to see the one who was on the cross and draw them by the Son of God to Him. His great statement is, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Drawing, getting people to turn to the Son of God, who indeed was lifted up. There are four things with regards to lifting up, with regards to Jesus. Number one, that we want to know. First of all, Christ was lifted up upon the cross. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and by the grace of God, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should experience death for every man. What do we see? We see him lifted up upon the cross. But we also see him, as he was put in the grave, lifted out of the grave. The Bible tells us that when they came and they began to investigate, they found out something, that the Son of God was lifted up out of the grave. He is not here. He is arisen. Over and over the story is told by those that hear him. In Revelation 1 and verse 18, the Bible says Jesus even states, I am alive. He was lifted up from the grave. Thirdly, he was lifted into heaven. What a joy it must have been when the disciples were observing Jesus. He's talking with them. Remember in Acts chapter 1? In Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us that as he was speaking, he began to rise and ascend back to God when the clouds overshadowed them. And there came two men, and they said unto the disciples, why are you gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus whom ye have crucified is now risen back to the Father. He's gone back. He was lifted up to heaven, lifted up on the cross, lifted up out of the grave, lifted up into heaven. But let me suggest you, number four, Christ has been lifted in the hearts of men by the preaching of the gospel in all ages since then. Why, he is today. When you preach the power of God, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then in Romans 1 verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When you preach that and people believe it, Jesus is lifted up in their hearts when they are obedient to the glorious gospel unto Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, surely he was. Lifted up upon the cross, lifted up from the grave, lifted up into heaven, and lifted up in the hearts of men and women who love him and are followers of him. But now notice, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto myself. the power of the Lord bringing people unto Himself. He draws men in that He alone loved men sufficiently to die for them. Who do you know of in the world that would give up His life for sinners? That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus loved mankind. In Romans chapter 5, Paul writes about it in verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did He do? He loved us sufficiently. He loved us where He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to be pierced and die so that you and I might be saved. Number two, He drew men to Him because He truly is. The revelation came from God. Jesus had been promised, and now then He comes. And what does Jesus do? He draws all men to Him. Why? Because when you saw Him, He said you saw the Father. Remember I mentioned in John chapter 12 and verse 42 that there were those who heard Jesus. They witnessed His teaching and everything. And yet because it was told that if they confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, they'd be put out of the temple. And what did they do? They refused to confess Him. Why? Because they loved the glory of man more than the glory of God. Thirdly, He draws men in that He is the only perfect soul who ever lived upon the earth. I cannot tell you of how great Abraham was. He was. When I look back in the Old Testament, I read about Moses and Moses doing everything he possibly could to serve the Lord. And though he made a mistake, he sinned. He was not permitted to go into the promised land. He was a great man. Well, as a matter of fact, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when you turn to Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says these three were together with Jesus. And the Bible says that Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us build three tabernacles, one for Thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, there was a bright cloud that overshadowed them, and there was a voice that came forth out of that cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Why? He's the perfect one. Did He ever sin? No. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, Peter tells us, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Not a single sin in the life of the Son of God. How does He draw men to Him? He cleanses their sins. Why? Because He was the perfect soul who lived upon the earth who had never, ever sinned. Fourthly, He draws men, and in that He alone is the satisfaction of the soul's deepest. Who had you rather have to be your friend than Jesus? Jesus is my friend. He's your friend. He's our friend. Whenever we're going through all the struggles in this old life, we need somebody. We need a friend that'll stick with us who'll never give up. And you have that friend when you're in Jesus Christ. Paul could say in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In addition to that, when he's writing to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Yes, friends, He satisfies the soul's desires that can only come to pass as a result of us having Jesus. How does He draw men? Let me just point out four things and the lesson will be yours. Number one, this is the Word. We got to use it. There's only one thing that we have today on this earth that is, there's not anything that is as powerful as this Word. Over and over and over, The Bible tells us about the power of the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to do what? It's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Remember what Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's what Philip was doing. He was using the Word because the eunuch was reading from Isaiah the prophet. And the Bible says, it was asked, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" The place of the scripture which he read was this, in Isaiah 53, verse 7. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch said, asked Philip, "I pray thee, who is he talking about?" And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ. Ah, the power that we have through the Word of God. It's by His Word. Remember on Wednesday night we were talking about Hebrews chapter 4 in my class, in the auditorium class? We were talking about the power of God's Word. Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." No wonder you read in the Old Testament, "Through thy word I get understanding, therefore I eat over every false way." There is a way that leads to heaven, and that is the Word of God. No wonder then the Bible emphasizes to us the power of using His Word to draw men to Jesus. Number two, look what the Bible tells us. You and I can do a whole lot to draw people to the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. In Acts 2, verse 47, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We can do that by loving one another, by caring one another. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know." There it is. By this, by what? By the love that brethren have for one another. They speak to one another. They love one another. They're workers together with God. That draws people to Jesus Christ. "That you may be my disciples if you have love one to another." Romans 12, verse 15, "Rejoice with those which rejoice, and weep with those, or mourn with those who mourn." In the Bible, we find in Philippians 4 and verse 4, the Bible telling us in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Godly men buried Stephen. They made great lamentation over him. Why? He was a great child of God. When Christians bear with one another, when Christians show one another and show the world that they truly belong to Jesus, that draws people to the Lamb of God. We draw them when we show our concern for them. And number three, when we bear one another's burdens. Going through life, it's rough. Sometimes we're burdened down. We have some people that are they're so sick. When you go into the room where they are, you just see what they're going through, and you just beg God to relieve their suffering. Let them get better. Yes, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we're struggling, when we need help, tell people, those who are children of God, and let's do all we can for each other. And fourthly and lastly, we draw people to Jesus when we pray for them. Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. He said, "Pray without ceasing." The early disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. But now I want you to look particularly in Romans 10. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, notice what Paul writes to these brethren. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved." What was he saying? He was saying, "I'm praying for my brethren." Why? He wanted them to be saved. He said, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." But Paul is saying here, Paul is saying in Romans 10, "I'm praying for them. I want them to turn to God." Oh, we've got people who still have never obeyed the gospel, called their name before God in prayer, ask God to help them to turn and obey the Lord. In Acts 20, verse 36, Paul is ready to leave his brethren. When the time comes when we have to depart, surely it's a time of sorrow, and it was in the case of Paul. He's now going to be going and leaving. As a matter of fact, he's not going to see his brethren that he loved so much at Ephesus. Not going to see them again. You know what they all do? The Bible says, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Brethren praying with brethren for brethren. When Paul and Silas were in prison, what did those prisoners hear? They heard them singing. Wasn't that wonderful? They heard them sing, but they also heard them praying. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. There was one man with his family that listened. And when Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here," he came in trembling before the disciples, and he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Simon Peter, he went through his struggles. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I'm praying for you, Simon." Why? Because Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." What a powerful statement. How we need that at O'Neill. Not selfishness, not rejection, but praying to draw people to Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus prayed for Peter, he likewise prays for us. Four things. How do we draw them? By his word. Two, when we show them we really care for them. Three, by helping to bear their burdens. And four, by prayer to God for them that they might be saved. Two questions. Who have you drawn to Jesus? Who will stand in the day of judgment and be able to say, "That person was the one that led me to Jesus Christ"? Who will be in heaven because of you? Last Sunday was Father's Day. Got a lot of greetings, but I got two I wouldn't take anything for. You know that little file I told you I have? I got a file for Troy. Boy, it's just getting fatter and fatter. I don't even have to guess what I preached on a certain day, though. Buzz, guess what? He'll put that down on the day and the title of it and give it to me. I wouldn't take anything for that. Got it. You know, I stand back there in the back with those small children. What a joy it does me to see them coming. Some of them shaking my hand, putting their arm around me. Little Abby, last Sunday, she'd made this up for me for Father's Day. that she put on there. Happy Father's Day, dear Brother Guy. Think any money, amount of money would buy that? Mm-mm. That's important to me. And then from Sam Wilson. Sam wrote to me, Brother Guy, thank you for being a light in the dark. Love, Sam Wilson. I wouldn't take anything for those things. Encouragement, when you have people like this, you've got encouragement. You have young children who look up at you, they hug you. I'll tell you what, I think I've got it the best in the whole world. I'm appreciative of that. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you become one so that you might be an example to others and lead them to Jesus Christ. And if we can help you anyway, won't you come? We're together. We stand.